Our text for today, the first three verses of Scripture taken from the book of Genesis, the first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I have a cousin who's a smart aleck. I actually have a lot of cousins who are smart alecks, but I have one particular cousin who happened to come to the hospital the day after my son Jacob was born and was standing with me and another relative alongside of some other people who were there viewing babies in the hospital, where you can look at all the little children in their cribs and so on. And my smart aleck cousin, loud enough for everybody to hear, said, "Man, isn't it just amazing to think that billions of years ago, a bunch of gases exploded out in the atmosphere and caused all these molecules to come together, and all these things started to put into action, and pretty soon little tadpoles crawled up out of a pond and turned into animals and monkeys, and here's Jacob." And got a few looks from the people next to us. The text before us lays out so beautifully what the Lord tells us. He alone was there and gives us his instruction as to exactly how this all began. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we're told the Spirit of God was hovering on the face of the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God uses his powerful word in order to bring life into this creation. God himself is the very source of all life. He not only creates it, but he's the one that keeps it going and sustains it as well. And the same powerful word that was used to initially call the universe and all of creation into existence is still the very source and power that keeps this life going. It's the very battery and energy that sustains all life in the world today. I remember years ago seeing a pastor give a great illustration to a group of vacation Bible school students. He had a big beach ball that had been deflated, and on it was printed the globe of the world. And then he, with his breath, blew into the ball to inflate it and put the stopper in. And he was trying to show the children that when God created the world, it was the very breath of his word that went in and created this world. And if you were to take the stopper out, in other words, remove the word of God, everything in the world would collapse. St. Paul says this to the Colossians about Christ, the very word of God made flesh. "Christ is the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, and in him all things hold together." Now that's quite a concept for us to get our heads around. That Christ, who is the very Logos, the very Word of God, that was used to create all things, who now sits upon the throne in the heavens, that same Christ is the very Word that keeps things operating here in this world. And that's very comforting for us. It's comforting to know that the very blood that's running into my hands, the very breath that's being breathed in and out of my lungs all day long, the activity that causes my heart to function, that all has to do with the sustaining power of the Word of God, that can ultimately be traced back through my parents and grandparents and great-grandparents all the way back to this verse. That's amazing. And that's very comforting. There's an interesting word here in verse 3 when it describes the Spirit of God going out. It's a word that's in our text is translated that the Spirit of God was hovering. The Hebrew word rachaf is an interesting word. It means to gently move above something. And it's often used in Scripture to refer to the activity of birds. In Deuteronomy, it refers to an eagle, for instance, hovering over its young. And it draws to mind, brings to mind when we hear this verse, that the Holy Spirit is this image of a bird just like we see the dove coming down and descending upon Jesus at his baptism. And the Nicene Creed describes the Holy Spirit as the Lord and giver of life who proceeds from the Father. That Spirit of God goes out where his word goes, hovering to create life. In many of the ancient or the medieval pulpits that were built in chapels and monasteries and sanctuaries, often there was a covering up above the pulpit. And if you look up inside, they would usually paint a dove up there to symbolize the power of the Word of God coming out where it is being preached. So God has taken the same power that he used to create the world and places it into Scripture, places it into his holy word as it goes out into this world. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, "The words that I give you, they are spirit and they are life." A great Lutheran theologian by the name of David Holatz, back in the 1700s, wrote this: "Just as your eye has the power to see when it is shut and not in use, so it is with Scripture. Even when it is not in use, it still contains the power of God." That power of God is intrinsic in the Word of God. And that's why there's a reason why Christ has commanded that this Word be preached from pulpits. Because without the power in that Word, it might be just as good as listening to talk radio about the upcoming Super Bowl. There's a reason why Christ has commanded that his Word be attached to the water in baptism. Because without the power of that word, you might as well bring along a bottle of shampoo and just wash the child's hair. There's a reason that Christ has commanded, do this when we celebrate the Lord's Supper and attach his powerful words to the bread and wine. Because without that power in his word, we might as well just hand out hors d'oeuvres. When God chose to create the world, his universe, and ultimately you and me, his special creature, he didn't just throw out some good information into the air that didn't exist, hoping that it would somehow arrange itself in time. God knew it would take much more than that. He had to specifically attach his power to the word he spoke to make things be set in motion. When Jesus stood at the bedside of the little daughter of Jairus, who was dead, he didn't just lay out some good information that this little girl's dead corpse could somehow take and think about and possibly use to see if she wanted to get back up and live again. No, Christ knew it would take a lot more than that. He had to attach the power of his word to what he said to her dead body so that she could be given life once again. And when Jesus comes and stands alongside of you and me, he doesn't just give us some good spiritual information that we can somehow think about and make a choice about and decide what we'd like to do with it, kind of like the way you pick out something from the J. Crew magazine. No, he knew it would take much more than that. He knew that our hearts by themselves are dead, and only by the power of his word working in us could anything spiritual come back to life. And so Scripture has to be more than just divine information. It must contain the intrinsic power of God to give us faith in Christ. But think how comforting it is to think that in our souls, the very spiritual blood that flows through us, the very spiritual breath that comes out of us, that causes us to love Christ, to appreciate the forgiveness of our sins, to see the need for that in repentance, to hold on to the wonderful hope of heaven that we have. All of that activity in life has been worked in us by this powerful word. Blessed be the God of our creation, the God of our physical creation, and the God of our spiritual creation. Amen.